No, for those of you, you know, I'm a news freak. I can't help myself. So as a consequence, I couldn't help noticing that the first smoke poured out of the chimney at the Vatican today. It was black smoke. And some Vatican watchers noted a distinct odor of hickory in the smoke, leading those same Vatican watchers to speculate that the cardinals got the conclave going with a rousing barbecue. There were also telltale keg deliveries to the Sistine Chapel, and squeals and cries of "No, my lace apron's prettier." So we've got that. Now, beyond the okay, that was foolishness. But beyond that, a moment of what reflection, if you will, for Marla Ruzicka, a true hero of the Iraq War. She spent the last more than 2 years trying to get help for the innocent civilians that George Bush was busy slaughtering. 28-year-old Californian. Blonde hair, big smile, one-woman aid group. You know, real good Samaritan stuff. Well, she got killed Saturday, Ms. Ruzicka did, by a suicide bomber. And, you know, so, I mean, she was truly brave. She would go out without security forces, talk to injured, slaughtered Iraqis, people whose family had been slaughtered, and tried to get help. And she did. Working with Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont, she got $2.5 million for civilian victims in Afghanistan. She got $10 million for victims in Iraq. And last week, she got another $10 million for the Iraq program. Mr. Leahy, Patrick Leahy, said she was the one that persuaded us. Here's someone who at 28 years old did more than most people do in a lifetime. And she worked closely with the media there, trying to help them see what's really going on over there, as opposed to the spin that comes out of the government. It's sad. At the age of 15, she walked into the offices of Global Exchange and collected all its brochures. She persuaded an organizer at the group to give a talk at her high school. She protested during a speech by George W. Bush, then governor of Texas, when she was in her early 20s. But then she calmed down a little bit and decided and tried to make nicey with the killers. She attended a Senate hearing in 2002 where Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld testified about Iraq. She walked up and shook his hand. She said recently, "I didn't scream. I thanked him for testifying, and I started talking about civilian casualties." Then, of course, she saw the blood dripping from his fangs and realized there was no point to it. So, while George Bush is busy killing as many people as he can, take a moment of silence for Marla Ruzicka, who tried to alleviate a little bit of the suffering that George Bush causes. And beyond that, well, you remember last week when I told you that bug spray delay was going to address the National Republican Rifle Association? Well, he did. He did it Saturday. And, you know, apparently this guy can't learn, Bugman can't. After threatening the conservative judges who ruled against him and his God Squad in the Schiavo case, he came out with this at the NRRA convention. Listen to this quote. "This guy is creepy and scary and bloodthirsty and nasty and vile and hateful." There goes that Bob calling names. No, I'm not calling names. Those are just adjectives. This is what he said to the assembled faithful at the NRRA convention. "When a man's in trouble or in a good fight, you want to have your friends around, preferably armed." Okay. So I guess it's not just judges. Bug Spray Delay wants his NRRA pals to kill everybody who's aware of his crimes. But that wasn't even the best part. The best part was that gunpowder fume-addled Wayne LaPierre, desperately trying to get a rise out of a bunch of people sitting in the crowd, desperately using his First Amendment rights to declare that the Second Amendment is America's most precious freedom. Really. Could have fooled me. Looked to me like it was the First Amendment he was using there, not the Second. Because, see, if the First Amendment wasn't America's most precious freedom, someone could have just walked up to Wayne LaPierre, crammed a tennis ball in his mouth, wrapped his head with duct tape, and walked away, leaving him to go, oh, by the way, where was his gun? And then, of course, after gobbling down his dinner of lark's vomit canapes, hummingbird's tongue salad with goat cheese and sirloin steak with peppercorn cognac sauce, Ted Nugent had a few things to say at the NRRA convention, too. And, you know, basically just following up on Bugman. And how appropriate it was he would say them, you know, just a few days before the 10th anniversary of the worst right-wing Republican terrorist attack in the United States. Nugent stood there, urging NRRA members to be, and this is a quote, hardcore radical extremists demanding the right to self-defense. Charming. How delightful. How deliciously bloodthirsty. Because, of course, you do remember Timothy McVeigh was a, quote, hardcore radical extremist, right? Of the right-wing variety, no less. Claim him, Republicans. He's yours, baby. He's not one of ours. Eric Rudolph was a, quote, hardcore radical extremist. Not one of ours. Not part of the Kumbaya crowd. Mm-mm, sorry. Hey, Ted, you damn doofus. We already have the right to self-defense in every state in the Union, no less. It came over from some of that international law that the right-wing weirdos are complaining about now. Because it came to us from Mother England. That's international law. He's relying on international law. I guess they won't say that when it's something they want. But what in the, honest to God, what in the wide, wide world of sports was that goober babbling about? I think the cat scratch fever's finally gone to his brain. That or he got hold of some really bad wang dang that wasn't so sweet after all, and it's made him crazier than a bush on a bad tequila binge. Wow. So we got that, and brother, there's some creepy stuff out there, too. We'll get to it. Be patient. It's early in the evening. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Not only affect your health, it could put your finances in jeopardy. Anything from buying everyday items like groceries to saving for retirement could become a burden. That's why it's important you talk to your State Farm agent, Bill Straub in Beckley, Don Bowling in Oak Hill, or Maria Dooley in Richwood about making health insurance an essential part of your financial plan. They can help you protect your financial health with competitively priced health insurance products from Assure and Health. For more information on health insurance from Assure and Health, to Bill Straub in Beckley, or Don Bowling in Oak Hill, or Maria Dooley in Richwood. Coverage is issued and underwritten by Fortis Insurance Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. No member of the State Farm family of companies is financially responsible for the product. Fortis Insurance Company is not an affiliate of State Farm.
There's a tornado or there's a forest fire. The Mother Nature is at her worst.
There's a search or there's a rescue.
Where there are Americans in need.
Disaster strikes or one volunteer force.
Helping each other and simply doing what needs to be done.
You are the Civil Air Patrol.
The official auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force.
To join, call 1-800-FLY-2338.
Or log on to the World Wide Web at www.cap.gov.
One day, the phone rang.
It was the hospital near my daughter's college.
Mike Kepferly and Judy Miller want to prevent what happened to their families from happening to yours.
They said our son was seriously ill with a rare disease.
Meningococcal meningitis.
We didn't know college kids are at risk.
Vaccination could have saved Beth.
Within 24 hours, he was gone.
The vaccine has been around for years.
Health officials recommend parents and college students learn about meningitis and vaccination. A message from the National Meningitis Association.
You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right. Head on with Bob Kincaid. Welcome back. 19 minutes after 7 o'clock, and let's go straight to the phones. 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. That's WWNR. Ed is with us. Hey, Ed, you're head on.
How are you doing this evening?
Doing pretty good.
Sound all right.
Okay, good. It was a heck of a weekend.
Yeah. It sounds like it. I had that stuff, and it took me 3 days to get up and get around.
This is day one for me. I hope I'm not pressing my luck, but I can't stand to stay away from here.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad you're there. I'm not glad you got the flu, but I'm glad you got able to come out. But I talked to you before on some politics in this county.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to tell you, our system here in Fayette County, we don't have to go, and I agree with all you say about Tom DeLay and that bunch of skanks in Washington, but the fall of a good system starts locally first, I think.
Oh, I think you're right, Ed.
And we got Shirley Love over here, and I've been checking now for about a month on him. And whether a person is a Democrat or a Republican, it really don't make a lot of difference if they aren't crooked and aren't a bunch of liars, and aren't at the bottom of the barrel type of people. And to think that we pay these people to go down there and misrepresent us. And that's exactly what you're doing. Let me tell you something and why they're so deeply in debt. Shirley Love took in $71,000. Let me read you a list of just some. And I mean, just don't count what's not, you know, what he didn't have to show on his taxes. But Plum Creek Timber, Georgia Pacific Timber, Charles Hinkle Timber Trucking, West Virginia for Coal, James Harless Timber, John Heaters National Gas, Don Blankenship, we know all about him.
Hey,
Coal, Randy Hamford Coal, Brent Stires Coal, Gas Oil Pacific, A.T. Massey Coal, and Don Nice, I think it's a nice order, Cole, and committee to elect Joe Manchin, State Farm, and of course we know how he turned out on insurance, Doug Epplingly, Cole, William Bill Bright, Cole, he owns a Bright Company, he owns a place in Somersville.
Bright of America, right?
Mm-hmm, Bright of America. So we know all about them, but let me tell you some of his stuff personal. And I know that it takes money to run.
Sure.
But we know who he's obligated to when he goes in there. And even though Joe Powell years ago told me that Shirley Love was the worst to come out of this county to represent any type of working people, and even though they endorsed him this time because they hoped to get something out of him, and there was no one running against him, mounted to nothing anyway. But when he went to, he's got the JFK plan, you know, just for kin folks. And well, I can tell the preachers where his vote went, that he was supposed to vote against these gambling bills.
Mm-hmm.
Check and see who's on the parole board. His daughter and Wise talked him talked him out of voting for him and give the job to her. And, you know, I'd like to know I'd like to see the applications. I'd like to know what her qualification was. No connection all ever with, that I know of, and I usually know a little bit of what's going on, of
corrections?
Of correctional, connections at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you this about him. I thought that I knew him well enough. Quite a few years ago when his son ran for magistrate, I thought that we was cordial enough because we traded. Maybe I could be for two of his and him be for one of the people the unions were backing. And then, in addition to that, you know, we traded back and forth. We could reach an agreement. But I think what really turned me off was when he offered me $100 to carry his son's card, the 19-year-old boy, to run for magistrate. Now, that's kind of some of the stuff that we got going on in this county. And he tried to get five of us that was in a meeting in the bottom of the old Hotel Hill to go for Cleve Benedict. And this comes from, I know that that happened. I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And then his second cousin told me the other night that when he went to pick up some stuff and post it for him, that he had Cleve Benedict, a Republican out of Greenbrier County, a milk guy,
yeah,
to had his posters on the table that he had all this stuff. So, the Republican Party should be extremely happy with him, because we have got the most deteriorated Democratic Party in this county, with Shirley Love and this David Perry. We've got one guy that will represent labor halfway, and that's Tom Luises.
Yeah, Tom Luises.
And then we got Randy White, who voted against the insurance companies for us. But Shirley Love just helped push this thing right on through without any challenge, and it took Sally Sussman and a couple like her to help get these amendments added. But to give you some more examples, he went down and tried to get teacher's insurance for himself.
I remember
like
that.
A full-time employee. And you're talking about a self-motivated, a self-centered person, and nothing back to the people. And he can come out and try to get this Hank Williams highway. Hank Williams has nothing to do here. He died here. They didn't even bury him here, and here he goes down there, it's just a bad taste.
Well, that whole shenanigan over the Hank Williams highway business is just, Ed, I guess every state has its political monkey shines, but that was another great moment in West Virginia legislative history, as far as I'm concerned, because, look at what got held up.
Look what he turned around and did against us. And then the other part was the hunting dogs. Ain't that great? We're allowed to get our hunting dogs back now if they could. I don't know what would have stopped us before. They might have got us for trespassing, but usually you walk up on somebody's property and tell them a dog's on their property. They got the decency to get did there.
Well, we're pretty good neighbors, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. But he does anything, and to show that he's more Republican, and you have to be a Democrat to win in this county.
Yeah.
So those Republicans like him and Perry, his running mate, they're real good at that pulls these shenanigans. Like Perry now, he tried to get his idea through on closing down private schools so that they get money depending on the capital of the people,
right.
How many people they got in the school.
Matching funds.
They get it from the government. Well, he tried to close down all the private schools so that money would come to through the Board of Education and so forth like that.
Well, the one out of this latest session, Ed, the one thing I remember about David Perry is his idea that we got to spend a buku dollars to change all of the school warning signs to a different color.
Isn't that really great? I mean, of all the things that's important,
that cost us $15,000.
What they call him in Charleston over this gambling bill?
Right.
They call him the Joker. The Joker's wild, and I mean that was just over the gambling bill. And then another thing that shows me he's pretty close to the Republican Party is he buddies up and he's in the paper steady with old Mannix Porter of the Register Herald.
Yeah.
If there's ever a Republican paper, that's it.
No, there's no doubt the Register Herald's a Republican paper.
Huh?
There's no doubt the Register Herald's a Republican paper.
Yeah, well, to get in there, look at how they done McGraw and all the other people that was for working people, and then turn around and trying to, anywhere he can get a point across. And then I'll tell you the height of all of it. Is he, his son was Bob Workman's son, which is a pretty good guy, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they went over, something happened in their marriage. And anyway, Shirley went over and had his grandson name changed and said at Workman, it's his name is now Robert Shirley Love. Now it makes you wonder what that means, don't it? I mean, he couldn't be connected with politics later on.
Oh well, I mean, no.
And then
we wouldn't try to politic on a family name, would we?
No. That's how they all get these conventions and so forth. They make sure they whether that's their name now or not, they use it. But I just want you to know, and of course, we got old Smokey Weeks over there. I told you about him wanting a recount after getting one vote, and that was his.
But it's still a good one.
I'm telling you, it's time. You know, this guy, Love, don't deserve to retire with any dignity. He needs to be exposed. And, you know, if the Lord will let me live long enough to make these Meet the Candidates meetings, there's several of us going to be making those and telling just what he is. And we got Tom Miles that way, and he needs to be our next target.
Well, we're stuck with Shirley till, 2008?
Yeah. But, you know, a lot of damage can be done. But I'm just pointing out some of the stuff that he does that shows me that he's not a Democrat and he's not for the public. He is definitely for Shirley Love and the Shirley Love clan. Like I said, that's a JFK plan.
Just for Ken, folks.
That's right.
Hey, Ed, thanks so much. We've got to take our break.
All right, and thank you for your time.
Oh, anytime, Ed, anytime. Thank you for the information. When we come back, more of your phone calls, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-WWNR. This is Ed On. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A weekend brush fire that burned an acre of land in Prosperity may have been deliberately set. About a dozen firefighters responded to the blaze Saturday off Jim Bailey Road Farm. The fire burned almost an acre of land before it was extinguished. Bradley Prosperity Fire Chief Bruce James says the fire happened out in the middle of nowhere and did not involve buildings. The fire is thought to have been arson. James says they have a suspect and the fire is under investigation. No one was injured. Renovations and repairs are on the way to the dam at Mon Cove Lake State Park in Monroe County. The work starts in mid-May. Preparations now require water in the lake to be drained. It will remain drained until the project is finished, but the rest of the park will be open, as usual, this summer. The campaign against Senator Byrd has become a nearly incessant drumbeat, even though the election is more than 18 months away. The National Republican Senatorial Committee pitches anti-Byrd story ideas almost daily and passes along examples of media scrutiny directed at the 87-year-old. But political observers think the steady attacks are actually meant to persuade Byrd not to run. Larry Sabato, professor at the University of Virginia and director of its Center for Politics, says Republicans are trying to convince Byrd that, unlike his recent campaign, the 2006 race will be very difficult and dirty. One of the key supporters of the failed table games bill in this year's legislative session is not ready to let that matter die. Ohio County Senator Andy McKenzie wants Governor Manchin to take up the issue in a special session likely to be called in September or October about pay raises for public workers. That's the news. Here's the forecast for the rest of this evening. Partly cloudy and mild. Now temperatures in the mid to upper 60s. The rest of the night then partly cloudy, low 50. And for Tuesday, partly cloudy. Once again, tomorrow's high, mid 70s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack. When you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News. I'm Rebecca Jameson.
And I'm Jesse Russell. Graduate teachers at Yale University voted last Wednesday night to go on strike for 1 week starting this morning. In a joint action, Columbia University graduate teachers will be striking as well. Melinda Tuhus reports from New Haven, Connecticut.
300 of the 500 graduate students teaching this semester in the humanities and social sciences are members of GSO. After the strike vote, which was 82% in favor, some members practiced for picket lines. The union is seeking health care for members' families and affordable child care, pay equity across academic disciplines, and an impartial grievance procedure. Striking GSO members and their supporters will be hopping on buses next Wednesday to join striking graduate teachers at Columbia University for a march down Broadway to push both groups' demands. This is the first multi-campus strike in the Ivy League's history. For WIN, I'm Melinda Tuhus in New Haven.
New bankruptcy legislation passed by Congress last week will make it even more difficult for low- and middle-income Americans to wipe out their debt.
It's not an effort to make people who are delinquent in their payments repay more. It's an effort to make working and middle-income families go through a more difficult process and have to pay more.
Robert D. Manning is a professor at the Rochester Institute of Technology and the author of Credit Card Nation. He says credit card companies were key players in passing the bankruptcy bill and that the credit card industry was second only to Enron in their contributions to the Bush campaign.
It's virtually unprecedented for the government to intervene on behalf of an industry during a period of record profits and during a period that it's cutting employment. So there is no justification for this bill. It will not reduce bankruptcies. It will increase personal bankruptcies.
Supporters of the bill say it will target people who abuse bankruptcy to escape repayment. But Manning says that people usually file for bankruptcy because of health-related costs, job loss, or personal crisis, none of which are easy to plan for or prevent. He says the real issue is the nation is pursuing legislation that mirrors the problems of society, instead of exploring issues like health care and job creation that give people a better way of life.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Canada is on the verge of a cancer crisis. According to new numbers released by the Canadian Cancer Society, the number of cancer cases in that country has grown by 2% since the year 2000. The spread of cancer has outgrown the population growth rate, and 5.7 million Canadians are expected to develop cancer over the next 30 years.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
WWNR Beckley.
Shining a liberal light in the conservative darkness. Bob Kincaid, head on.
Welcome back. About 24 minutes before 8 o'clock here at WWNR. Did you hear the news story in Karl Marx update? There's one legislator that wants, what, a special session for table games? Now, I don't know. Maybe it's the... Maybe it's my closet conservatism, but I hope you'll join me in thinking that's a really rotten idea. We're already planning a special session for bond debt, if I'm not mistaken. And now, I'm one of these plain language people. I mean, I'll haul out the $10 words every now and then. You know, what fun is it to have a Cadillac if you don't get to take it out and drive it around from time to time? But plain language, special session. Why is it a special session? It's a session that's needed specially because it can't wait until the next legislative session. We give these guys 60 days a year. You know, there are some states, Texas comes to mind, where they only let the legislature meet once every 2 years. Now, special session for gambling, special session for, I don't know, designating the English. Well, never mind. No special sessions. We paid these guys, what, 15, 20 grand to go down there and monkey around for 60 days and get... nothing done but a bunch of pro-business, pro-insurance, anti-you and me, anti-consumer stuff. That's enough for 1 year. You want gambling? You wait till next year. Sorry, that's just how it works. At some point, we've got to teach these people, apparently, how to do their jobs. Or is that just crazy talk? Is that the flu talking? I don't know. It's just special session. Special session. Not session because our gaming lobbyists can't wait until February. Special session. You know, the financial house is burning down. We got to do something about it right now. You understand? Okay. Now, I'll tell you what. Let's go to the phones. 252-6200. Outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on. Hey, Jim.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing good.
I understand that you've been indisposed.
The malaria, yellow fever, flu, I don't know.
I see. Are you sitting or reclining?
I'm sitting.
Well, I've got one for you.
Okay.
I happen to have heard on the morning show your favorite caller, the one you have to stick out behind the woodshed.
Yeah.
Who compared himself to Tom DeLay because he was so effective. Both were so effective. And that is the reason that sometimes he was criticized for his comments on the air or words to that effect.
Okay. Somebody's britches are getting a little big.
Miss Jeff, exactly. And I'll call you by name. You are an idiot. You are a eugenic disaster.
God, Jim.
That's exactly what that idiot is. And he is typical of what some of the people think about this state. Moving on.
Yes.
You know, when I see what's going on in Washington today, it proves to me what Cardinal Mazarin once said. There are no permanent friends or enemies, just relationships of temporary convenience.
Boy, ain't that the truth.
And, you know, I'll tell you something. Our government is nothing but a government of organized corporate entities, and a government of organized money, to me, is just as dangerous as a government controlled by a misorganized mob.
Sounds like the same thing.
Well, I would say it's probably more harmful. And, you know, these people are bringing ruin on their heads.
Yeah, they are. They absolutely are. And
I have told them, I have been on the phone, I mean, this, I've been on the phone to, every day I'm on the phone to D.C. And I'm telling them that their whole deal up there is going to become a forbidden city, a play with no audience, and they don't watch out.
I tell you, Jim, I caught Congressman Roy Blunt and Congressman Barney Frank on Meet the Press yesterday.
Right.
You know, with journalistic integrity headman Tim Russert. You know, the guy that throws the hardball questions. Sure. And it kind of blew me away because it sort of, the conversation was about Tom DeLay and all the filth and all the dirt that he's involved in.
And he's effective. Just ask your caller if he calls the line. He is effective.
Jim.
You what I think he's effective at?
Yeah, graft.
Oh, that. Other things as well. Just being an outright crook, an idiot, a liar.
He's good. He's really good at advocating for forced prostitution in the Marianas Islands. I mean, that's a known fact.
Well, I'm not sure that I've even ventured into that.
Well, we might have to take a wander down that lane one of these nights.
I mean, you know, that man, you know, he is really into so many evil things and nasty things that it would take an entire retinue of police officers to investigate exactly what's been going on with him.
Well, but what it boils down to, you talked about the Washington culture, and as I watched this conversation between Barney Frank and Roy Blunt, and a buck and Roy Blunt will get you a cup of coffee. I mean, the guy's useless.
Right.
But what it was this conversation where, maybe that trip wasn't so good, but the other trip's okay, and this trip, and we didn't know that they were lobbyists that were paying for the trip, but I just sort of watched in sort of mute amazement, Jim, because when you get down to that level of Byzantine hair splitting,
right,
about which trip's okay and that trip's not okay, then, I mean, you are de facto dealing with an utterly, utterly corrupt political system, and I heap these coals on the heads of both houses, okay? Democrats and Republicans alike.
And the civil service, you have what's called the Joint Federal Travel Regulations, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Words to that effect. All this stuff is clearly laid out in points of law or DOD directive or civil service OPM directive based upon public law. There is no way that you can do something wrong and not be held accountable for it. The regulations are very specific.
Right, and so the question...
Unless they've got the regulation to govern the civil service, the permanent people, and they're the ones who are elected who can do anything they want to.
You know, if the House wants to send a fact-finding committee somewhere, the House should vote to do it, and we should pay for it, if it's that important.
But the House needs to regulate itself.
That's what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
And on the other hand... If Tom DeLay wants to play golf in Scotland, he is very well paid. He can buy his own damn plane ticket.
Right.
And he can go and play St. Andrews.
Exactly.
I'd like to play St. Andrews someday. Don't know that I will. Because, unfortunately, unlike Tom DeLay, I'm not hooked up with the...
You don't make $280,000 a year.
Well, not just that, but I'm not hooked up with a lobbyist who will pay to take me.
Exactly.
You know, what's wrong with a law that says if a congressman wants to play golf at Disney World, he pays for it. We pay him adequate money to go and do as he pleases.
Well, you know, when I was in Russia, I paid for it. The Russian mafia didn't pay for it.
Right.
You know?
Unlike some people.
Unlike some people. But, I mean, I guess these are effective people. Just so effective.
Effective, yeah.
I'll tell you.
I've got to use this voice when we talk about being effective.
Well, I certainly hope.
I've been using this voice all weekend. Trust me, Jim.
Well, please, don't send Johnny No Thumbs over here tonight. Don't send him over here tonight, because I don't want to have to shoot somebody else. My God in heaven. But... I do hope you feel better, but if you do get a call from Mr. Effective,
yeah,
just tell him I said that he's just an idiot. Just an idiot, and so is that morning show talk host, a bigger idiot. I mean, you know, it's the both of them.
I think you just did, Jim.
Remind me of that thing called Greater Tuna. Remember that thing, Greater Tuna, Texas?
I've done Greater Tuna.
You have?
Hell yeah.
That's what they both sound like, two low-grade morons.
I'm all a Struvy.
You know, really, really, just two low-grade, not high-grade, but two low-grade morons.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate it.
You got it. Hope you feel better.
No, thank you. Yeah, sitting here working on the herb tea, getting better all the time, just like John Lennon said. I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. You tell me what's wrong with that idea. If... the Congress needs for some Congress people to go and find out about a specific situation, then Congress can send them, and you and me and the rest of the taxpayers will gladly pay for the trip if Congress needs the information that badly. If, on the other hand, you want to take the family to Six Flags, call the travel agent, make the plans, book the trip, and pay for it yourself. Because that's what the rest of us have to do. Or is Tom DeLay just more American than the rest of us? All Americans are equal, but some Americans are more equal than others? You have read Animal Farm, right? Oh, merciful God. You can go and you can read about Tom's little junket to the Marianas Protectorate, and how he supported legislation that forced young women into prostitution. But he's a good man. Sure he is. And as we noted earlier, he also says that when a man's in trouble or in a good fight, you want to have your friends around, preferably armed. So he wants people like me bumped off. Anybody who disagrees with Tom DeLay deserves, you know, Tom DeLay thinks they need to die. This is the really, really weird ascendancy of the really, really weird right wing. And you doubt me? Here's how weird it gets. You know, we talked last week about the bizarre little camp meeting via television that's going to happen next Sunday in, Louisville, Kentucky, at some mega church? Mega McChurch or whatever? High Hill Hobnob Baptist or whatever the name of the place is. And Bill Frist is going to be there, and, you know, they're all going to stand around screaming that God wants the judges killed. Well, that's part and parcel of the Family Action Network, Family Research Council, Friends of the Family. Here's another one. And you keep, you know, you that Bob, he's being mean to the Christians. No, I'm not being mean to the Christians. If I'm being mean to anybody, I'm being mean to the religion industry, and they don't have anything to do with Christianity. Because, never mind the theology. Regardless, by the year 2050, estimates are that deaths, and of course you guys, you don't have to pay any attention because, you know, you don't have one. And since you don't have one and there's not a baby in it, the right wing of womb Nazis don't care. Deaths from cervical cancer could jump fourfold to 1 million a year by 2050. Now, there are some vaccines out there, and they are likely soon to be approved. And those vaccines could stop cervical cancer in its tracks. End it. Stop thousands, hundreds of thousands of preventable deaths of women every year. There's only one problem. The vaccination has to be given to a young woman before she becomes sexually active. And it has to do with vaccinating them against something called the human papilloma virus. And the human papilloma virus is sexually transmitted, man to woman, woman to man. That's why a young woman has to be vaccinated before she becomes sexually active. Well, 80% of parents in this country favor vaccinating their daughters. Because 80% of parents in this country love their daughters. 80% of parents in this country are absolutely, abjectly horrified at the idea of their daughters dying a horrid, horrid, gruesome death from cervical cancer. That's 80% of parents. Then there's the Family Research Council. Right-wing religion industry hate freaks. And there's a woman named Bridget Marr, or Mayer, of the Family Research Council. You know, I can't stand bad journalism. Family Research Council, a leading Christian lobby. No, it's not! This is a bunch of Old Testament, bizarre, hateful sinners of in the hands of an angry God. Call them anything you want, but do not call them Christians. This freak group, and I do believe they're dandling their toes in the fetid little cesspool of next Sunday's televised Go Kill the Judges rally from Louisville, like I said. Bridget Marr, the Family Research Council, a leading religion industry lobby group, has made a big deal of the fact that because human papillomavirus can spread by skin contact, that condoms are no use in that fight. And the Family Research Council is gearing up to try to tell American mothers and fathers not to vaccinate their young daughters because Jesus likes cervical cancer. What a sick... Freaks, I use the word freak from time to time. I use it a lot. Who am I kidding? These aren't freaks. These are fiends. These are monsters. These are lovers of death and misery. These are the same people that ran to the polls to vote for George Bush, who turned around and appointed Crisco John Ashcroft, who immediately went after the people of the state of Oregon, who had decided that you could make a choice about your existence and die with a little bit of dignity. This is the same bunch. Suffering's good. Nah, suffering sucks. You know, go ask somebody who's suffering. Is suffering good? Nah, it sucks. I'm suffering here, and it definitely sucks. Yeah, it sucks. Definitely sucks. Slow on the driveway. Giving the HPV vaccine to young women could be potentially harmful because they may see it as a license to engage in premarital sex, says Bridget Moore. Yeah. We're going to... These fiends, these monsters, these purveyors of suffering and death in the name of a man who spent his short span of time on planet Earth fighting against suffering, these fiends see more threat from premarital sex than they do from the horrid, god-awful, wasting misery of cervical cancer. Anybody want to argue with me and try to tell me that these monsters are Christians? No, because they're not. You know, when that whole suffer the children, the little children to come unto me thing, that didn't mean he wanted the little children to suffer. Bunch of morons. All right. Time for our top of the hour break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On. For many kids, high school graduation is still a dream, not a reality. For them, a brighter future might be within view, but not within reach. Fortunately, there are boys and girls clubs all over the country helping these kids find their way. When they join the club, they're entering a positive place, a place where they can take advantage of numerous educational programs and eventually even receive college scholarships. Most of the kids who go to the Boys and Girls Clubs will go on to college. Often they're the first ones in their family to do that. But for every child we help, there are thousands more who still need to be given that opportunity. I'm Denzel Washington, and I'm asking you to help these kids create a positive future instead of just dreaming about it. Call 1-800-854-CLUB and support a program that works. The Boys and Girls Clubs, the positive place for kids. What is the most influential time in a child's life? Age 6? 8? 12? Actually, it's between 3 and 8 every afternoon. That's the time a kid is most likely to get into trouble or worse. Which is exactly why that's the time the Boys and Girls Clubs open their doors and their arms to kids all over the country every day. When kids walk into these clubs, they're surrounded by people who care what happens to them. Adults who make sure these children continue to learn and grow long after the school bell rings. In fact, with so many educational programs, most of the Boys and Girls Club members go on to college. But there are still thousands more kids who need our help. I'm Denzel Washington, and I'm asking you to make sure every child has a safe place to go after school. Call 1-800-854-CLUB. Support the Boys and Girls Clubs, the positive place for kids.
Denzel Washington for the Boys and Girls Clubs.
In my hand, I'm holding a 2-inch by 3-inch piece of paper that has changed the lives of millions of young people. It's kept them off drugs, out of gangs, and in school.
Now, what could be that powerful and still fit in the palm of my hand? A membership card from the Boys and Girls Clubs. Every day, another 300 kids will join clubs all across the country. That's 300 kids who will be picking up a membership card instead of a gun or a needle or a knife. You know, too many people feel like they can't make a difference, but I'm telling you this. Put this card in the hands of a child, and you will change that child's life. Do that, and you can change the world. It's up to all of us. Support a program that works. The Boys and Girls Clubs. The positive place for kids.
For more information and to find out how you can support the Boys and Girls Clubs, call 1-800-854-CLUB. That's 1-800-854-CLUB.
My mommy has multiple pearls.
If you think it's hard to say, imagine living with the debilitating effects of multiple sclerosis. We're the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. Call 1-800-FIGHT-MS.
Proud of over 50 years of podcasting history. You can depend on us. News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley, 18 o'clock.
When I'm under, I don't breathe. I'm weightless. My heart races. I'm floating away. And when it's over, all I think about is doing it again.
Michael Swan is under the influence of his volunteer swim coach. Spending a little time coaching, he helps neighborhood kids like Michael stay off the street and off drugs. So, share a skill, a passion, a hobby with kids in your community, and you can make a big difference. That's because kids who enjoy a regular positive activity with an adult are less likely to begin using drugs or alcohol. Find out how you can be a coach, a mentor, a volunteer. No matter what it is, you have something to offer. Log on to healthyourcommunity.org or call 877-KIDS-313 and be an influence on the kids in your community. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Yeah, welcome back. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On, and, well, you know, I'm sorry to just point it out so bluntly, but my God, when a religious group, a religion industry group that calls itself, centered on, Christ, and they advocate against saving thousands upon thousands of lives with a vaccine. I mean, these guys are such Luddites, you can well imagine. We don't believe them children should be taking that polio vaccine. This is the same crowd that says, it's not specifically in the Constitution, the Supreme Court can't rule on it. Oh, morons. Under that view, you couldn't regulate an electricity, a power company, because there weren't light bulbs in Jefferson's house. Ew. I mean, again, never mind. A fun one for you. You're going to love this one. You remember when we got clarification about overtime? The Labor Department declared that they were going to clarify the rules about overtime. I think we're going to get clarified again. And it's the Labor Department again. The Bush Administration Labor Department. According to the New York Times yesterday, the Bush administration, the world's single most powerful anti-labor organization, well, they're going to crank the heat up on labor unions. Yes, indeed, they're hiring a whole bunch more people, spending a lot more of our money to expand audits of labor unions, saying that they need to ferret out and deter corruption. What it boils down to, of course, is nothing but some ham-fisted political retaliation for the fact that no labor union in its right mind would support a Republican candidate like George Bush. And they didn't. Now, what they're saying is that the...
labor unions need to be kept in a little closer rein. We need to check them a little bit. Threaten them with audits. Look at where every paperclip went, every staple, every post-it note. And who are they starting with? Well, they've made it very clear that they're going to start with the AFL-CIO. And John Sweeney is the president of the AFL-CIO, and he says, you know, it's obvious that the Department of Labor's assignment of 48 new staff to audit unions, starting with the AFL-CIO, is pure political payback for the labor movement's opposition to the president's anti-worker policies.
Yes. Yes.
Now, on the other hand, the Bush administration, we are merely stepping up enforcement efforts. Okay, then why did we, why was the first thing the AFL-CIO saw was a letter from the Labor Department saying that it is target one? Well, I'll tell you why. Because they threw their support, as I said, to John Kerry. And, you know, when you run a criminal enterprise like the Bush administration, well, how do criminal enterprises behave?
You go against me, I'm going to come against you.
That's, you know, that's what you got. Now, bear in mind, there are other things that need to be looked at. Enforcement in other areas. For instance, They went to Robert Reich, the reporter did. Who was the reporter? Stephen Greenhouse. And he said he sought to maintain the same number of union audits during his tenure, though they dropped off somewhat after the department reduced its staff by 12% as a cost-saving measure. And Mr. Reich says he's surprised by the increase now because enforcement's been cut in other areas. There we go. That's what I was looking for. Yeah. Now, the Bush administration... See, now, that's, maybe I'm just crazy. See if this makes sense to you. The Bush administration has cut... administration, my old Aunt Matilda, the Bush regime, the Bush junta, the Bush coup, has cut enforcement, because we're fiscally conservative, remember? They've cut enforcement in occupational safety. You know, the things that keep working people alive. Or when a worker is hurt or killed in an accident, they go in and investigate and try to keep another one from getting hurt, maimed, or killed. That they've cut. And they also have cut minimum wage enforcement. Well, you wouldn't want to enforce the minimum wage now, would you, Elaine Chao? George Bush.
Well, that's unnecessary bureaucratic waste enforcing the minimum wage. I think we can trust all of America's corporate giants to pay a fair wage, to at least pay the minimum wage.
Yeah. So they've cut that, but look. You know, politics is politics, and it's ugly sometimes. But this is the kind of stuff that we're supposed to be above. Pure political paybacks.
We're going to audit all the unions, and we're going to start with the AFL-CIO.
Really? Meanwhile, back at the White House, still not a lot of concern about that lost $8.8 billion from the Coalition Provisional Authority that just sort of dropped down between the cushions of the sofa somewhere. Remember the $8.8 billion that just disappeared? That the Bush administration can't come up with an explanation for? You remember that? So they can't do that. But they can drop the hammer on
working people and the unions that help them, that give them at least a slightly more level playing field with the bosses. Boy, what do you do with people like this? I don't know. Let's go to the phones real quick. Lucinda is with us. Hey, Lucinda, you head on. Lucinda?
Yes.
There you are. There you are.
Yes.
Yes.
I just finally had to call in because every now and then in the evening when I turn on my radio on my way home, it just happens to be on this station.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to comment. You sound like a seven-year-old whose parents...
I'm not a seven-year-old. Here, let me pound on the table. Oh, come on.
This is not talk radio. This is rant radio. And you have the freedom of speech. I have the freedom of speech.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lucinda, for giving me the freedom of speech. Get out of here. Take her off the air. What a loser. Call in, have a comment, have a debate, argue. The name calling I can do without. Except for this. Lucinda, you're a moron. John, you're head on. Hey, John.
How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing good, you?
All right. I heard on the radio this morning that Bill Frist, 30 of his former classmates,
mm-hmm.
sent him a letter saying that he had no business getting into that Chavo case and making that diagnosis and had never even seen the woman or even treated her.
Well, that speaks well for the Harvard Medical School because he didn't have any business in it at all.
But they sent him a letter, but he never did reply.
Oh, of course not.
I heard that this morning at 5 o'clock.
Well, yeah, it's disgusting, John.
You never heard nothing about it, or?
No, I didn't. I'm pleasantly surprised that they would do that.
They did.
I mean, he frankly deserves to have his medical license ripped from him for doing that.
They sent him that letter there, and out of 168 classmates, I think.
Hmm. Well, I mean, do you want a doctor that diagnoses you by videotape?
No.
No.
And using a 2002
yeah.
videotape?
Exactly. That's not doctoring. That's witch doctoring at best.
But anyway, I wanted to let you know about it. Maybe you could find out some information on it.
I will dig around on that. That'd be kind of interesting to find out. Of course, you know, we all know what Bill Frist is about.
Yeah.
And I think we see it now that he's going to appear at this thing in Louisville.
You see, the only reason he did that was just to further the Republican agenda. That's all that was.
It's just vote pandering.
He shouldn't have did that.
No, he shouldn't have. And, you know, what, 82% of America thought he shouldn't have? But, you know, these people, how do you refer to these people?
Yeah.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. You know, and what he's doing with the filibuster rule, I guess maybe some that may be going down this week.
Yeah, I think it's going to hurt them though.
I hope it does, because I don't think most of America wants to live in a totalitarian state.
Yeah,
and that's what they're moving toward.
Mm-hmm. And this bankruptcy law they didn't pass. Getting ready to pass. It's going to hurt a lot of people too.
Oh, it's passed.
But the thing about it is, it didn't hurt the people that had millions of dollars. You know, they never changed nothing on them.
Oh no, they can squirrel their stuff away. It doesn't matter at all. But you know, working people, well, you know, it would be unfair to make them to give them any relief from these predatory credit card companies.
That's right.
You know. And if they wanted to pass this thing, couldn't they at least maybe throw a sop piece of bread to the middle class and say, you know, we're at least going to make the credit card companies play fair?
Yeah, but you know, the Republican Party, they're for the rich. You know, they are only concerned about them. Go back and look at the things they've done since he's been in office and the things he's trying to do.
Well, what one good thing have they done for working people? Not one.
Yeah.
You know, and we're seeing it. We're seeing it in what they're doing to the unions here. We're seeing it all over the place, John, and it's absolutely unconscionable.
Right.
Always good to hear from you, John.
You check on that and see if you can find
it. I will look around and see if I can find something about it.
This morning.
Okay, good deal. I bet you somebody will email it to me.
All right, man.
Thanks, thanks y'all.
Take care.
Hey, Lucinda, I got more brains in my little finger than you've got in your life. Get one. This is Head On. I'm Bob.
We got an issue in America. Too many good docs are getting out of business. Too many OBGYNs aren't able to practice their love with women all across this country.
Nearly 70 million Americans, men, women, the old, and the young, share a common enemy, arthritis. Make a difference in the fight against arthritis. Team up with Colony Drug, the Arthritis Foundation, and Southern Communications for Beckley's second arthritis walk, Thursday, May 19th, on the McManus Rail Trail at New River Park. Have fun and help fight the nation's leading cause of disability, arthritis. Form a team with your friends and family. For details, call Colony Drug Enrollment Center at 252-5305 and join us May 19th for a walk in the park.
Friday, April 29th, a who's who of leadership training comes together for the Maximum Impact Simulcast, the most powerful leadership event of 2005. Hall of Fame coach Mike Krzyzewski, motivational expert Brian Tracy, Florida State head football coach Bobby Bowden, best-selling authors Patrick Lencioni, Michael Gerber, Marcus Buckingham, and John Maxwell, America's foremost authority on leadership. Don't miss this unforgettable day of leadership development, Friday, April 29th.
Coming to the Raleigh County Armory Civic Center. For tickets, call 255-4600.
Welcome to Green and Growing, the lawn care show with Bill Clutho, John Deere's groundskeeping guru. Bill, I love my new mower. Any safety tips?
Oh, I'm sure I can think of something. Read your operator's manual and pay close attention to all warning labels. Wear eye protection, long pants, and leather shoes. No loose clothes that might catch. Be extra careful walking backwards with a walk-behind mower, and don't run over your own toes. To help retain stability when mowing hills, riding mowers should mow up and down, while walk-behind mowers should travel across hills.
What if something clogs my mower? Should I try and fix it myself?
Mower blades move fast, about 200 miles an hour, so never put your hand inside a mower to clear a clog. John Deere says shut off the mower and investigate jams using a stick or a tool. For anything more than a simple clog, though, take your mower to the dealer for service.
Thanks, Bill. Tune in again for Green and Growing.
Here's Bob Kincaid, Head On.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock.
This is Head On. You know who I am.
I'm that rant radio guy.
Listen, we go at it from time to time. I'm willing to debate an issue. But here's a simple rule. Don't start off with,
you're a seven-year-old.
I don't know. Probably one of those people that's been suckered in by the religion industry is going to be sitting there on Sunday going,
yes, we must kill the judges. Kill them all. If they don't follow the rules that the Reverend Dobson has set down for them, that they must be killed.
Oh, brother. So we've got the attack on labor. We've got the attack by the Labor Department on the AFL-CIO while they're busy cutting funds for investigating occupational safety and, payment of the minimum wage. But we've got the money to put the screws to the AFL-CIO because, by God, they got in. They gave their support to John Kerry. Can't have that. No, can't have that. But that's not the only attack that's out there. This is the second term of George W. Death, and the bats are going to fly out of the belfry. Now they're coming apart at the seams, but that doesn't mean they're not going to go down swinging. So there you see, the war on workers.
But that's not the only little shot across the bow. There's plenty more. Ran across this in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. More than 200 state and national groups yesterday, that would be yesterday, would be Thursday, urged federal officials to reject an effort by who? That's right, big business, corporate America, to cut the knees out from under the Family Medical Leave Act. You do remember when it was passed 12 years ago, and the Republicans in Congress all screamed, "It'll be the end of American business. The American business will fall apart. American business can't do business with the Family Medical Leave Act. Oh, it'll be the death of us all." You remember that? You know, it's the same tired, sorry, miserable, dead-headed old speech they make about the minimum wage. Same sorry, tired, old, dead-headed speech they make every time some Democrat stands up and tries to do something for working people. So now, corporate America is gunning for the Family Medical Leave Act. Now, it's no great giveaway. All the Family Medical Leave Act says is that a worker can take as much as 12 weeks of unpaid leave a year. Unpaid, remember? Unpaid! For the birth or adoption of a child, or for their own illness, or that of a family member, and that their jobs are protected during that period. That's all it is. And corporate America despises it. So corporate America wants to restrict the kinds of medical conditions that are covered by the law. And they want to force employees to take what they call intermittent leave, which, of course, would not fall under the Family Medical Leave Act, for, get this, here's compassionate conservatism at its very best. Intermittent leave for such things as chemotherapy. And they want them to use their annual leave for it instead of FMLA, unpaid leave. Now, the National Partnership for Women and Families and their president, Deborah Ness, said, you know, this would be devastating for American families. They'd make it harder for people to take advantage of the law and to use the protection of the law. Now, there she goes, using normal, rational language with a bunch of weirdos. And it makes perfectly good sense that it would be devastating to American families. But not for corporate America. Now, corporate America says, we don't want you taking that family medical leave for, you know, chemotherapy. Have your cancer and then come on back. Or die. We don't care. And guess who? I mean, I'm not kidding you. It is corporate America, because who's behind it? Who just spent 60 days and God knows how many thousands of dollars put in that, when we discussed it, that full-page ad telling us that West Virginia is a rotten place to live? Who spent all that money doing that during our legislative session? Come on, you know who it was. That's right, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And who is behind this one? That's right, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Because some workers use the job protection as cover for chronic tardiness or absenteeism. It's always the workers' fault, isn't it? Blame the workers first. It's not a Republican strategy. It's a Republican raison d'être. That's French. He's speaking French again. And, if the U.S. Chamber of Commerce wants it, by God, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce will get it. Because they've got them some bought congressmen. And Americans will suffer, but it'll be good for business. Ugh. Of those who use the leave for illness, half of them were off work for 10 days or fewer. And more women than men have used the FMLA. The majority of people used the leave because of their own serious illness. 31% used it to care for a seriously ill family member.
The hell with them!
Because you see, when you get right down to it, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce doesn't want to modify the Family Medical Leave Act. They want to eliminate it. And there are working people within the sound of my voice who vote for these monsters. How do you feel about it now, huh? This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
And resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
Head On.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. The recent warm weather and high winds have increased the risk of forest fires in West Virginia. As a result, the State Department of Forestry is asking that all residents refrain from burning until conditions are a little bit more favorable. Division spokesperson Leslie Fitzwater says, unfortunately, fires are more likely during this time of year.
Danger across West Virginia is currently very high, and at this time, although it's not a ban on outdoor burning, we are asking residents not to burn unless they absolutely have to. And because the danger is so high, we have started flying wildfire danger signs or flags. Those are big red flags that will fly at different agencies across the state, including the Office of Emergency Services, county courthouses, state forests, and state parks. And that is to alert the residents of the state that the wildfire danger is very high and to refrain from burning if at all possible.
This weekend, there were 100 fires statewide and just over 2,000 acres burned. Fitzwater says that's probably comparable to past years, but admits every year and every month is different. Unemployment, rising medical costs, and massive credit card bills have West Virginians streaming into bankruptcy court in record numbers. Many people filed for bankruptcy protection in the state in March, more than ever before. About 1,400 residents did so. Judges and the financially insolvent say Congress fostered this spring's courthouse rush by approving a bill that will make it harder for some to erase debts. Lawyers are also contributing to the rush by running newspaper ads that encourage people to file bankruptcy before the changes take place. U.S. bankruptcy judge Ronald Pearson says people are afraid the law is going to be a little bit more strict. The body of a Louisiana teenager missing in the Gauley River for nearly a week has been recovered. 17-year-old Damon Childress of Fort Polk was found Sunday just below Rattlesnake Rapids by a diver with the Fayette County Sheriff's Office. That's the news. Now here's the forecast. Partly cloudy this evening and mild. Temperatures now mid-60s. Tonight, partly cloudy, low 50. Tomorrow, just like today, partly cloudy and warm with temperatures in the low to mid-50s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
It's been said that where there's a will, there are at least 1,000 moments. Again and again, the American people have expressed their will to stop the corruption of American politics and government by big money interests. Yet the won'ts keep finding ways to sneak around the will of the people, especially when most campaign financing laws are riddled with loopholes. You can find a glaring example in the current New York City race for mayor. Under a flimsy reform law, individuals can donate only $4,950 to any particular candidate for citywide office there. Of course, the vast majority of New Yorkers don't have anywhere near that amount to give to politicians, but those who do, particularly those special interests who want favors from the next mayor, find the limit too restrictive. So these sneaks have found a way to say won't. It turns out that the largest group of people giving the maximum donation to mayoral candidates is not CEOs, lawyers, or lobbyists, but women listing their occupations as homemakers. odd? Odder yet, when contacted, many of these homemakers were clueless about the race, and some weren't even living in the city. In fact, they are the wives of businessmen who are using a loophole that says wives and even children of a donor can also make donations of $4,950 each. One of these proxy donors said, "That was handled through my husband's office. I'm not familiar with it." Another, who lives in Florida, said that her contribution was really not mine, it's my husband's. And 9 members of her family were also enlisted in her husband's game of sneak. One other unaware donor said, "And this was a contribution to whom?" This is Jim Hightower saying, there is one reform that actually stops these sneaks. It's the public financing alternative, and it's being adopted by states and cities all across the country. To bring it to your area, call Public Campaign, 202-293-0222.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
He's got the heart of a conservative. Pickled on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Yeah, 23 and a half minutes before 9 o'clock. The Monday night just slipping away like it always does. And I got to tell you, I don't care how hard they try, they will never be able to make chloraseptic throat spray taste good. This is some nasty stuff. But, you know, you got to do it. It's because I got to be here. I got to be here for the decent folks, and I got to be here for the Lucindas of the world, because you know she's out there every night, listening and howling and screaming. What a 7-year-old! What a 7-year-old! You're welcome, Lucinda. Let's go to the phones. David's with us. Hey, David, you're head on. David.
Oh, hello, Bob.
How you doing?
Well, I'm doing swimmingly, and I want to make sure that all the listeners are aware of something. This medical and family leave attack, there's already the straw horse poster person for that, just like the welfare mom that shows up in the Cadillac, or the, you know, there's already a target that all the double-digit, and I'm being complimentary in that regard, double-digit IQ right-wing radio listeners are focusing on somewhere or another. They say they have validated records where some person that broke their big toe wanted extended medical leave under medical and family leave, and their wife was to be part of it, so that the wife could nurse this guy back to health. So you're going to hear the right-wing echo chamber.
In other words, it'll be made up completely out of whole cloth and the utter, complete fiction.
Yes, it will be chicken pudding.
Yeah, because that's what they specialize in, chicken pudding. That's a new one. That's a write it
yeah,
down.
That just occurred to me. Oh, and by the way, a little shout-out to Lucinda. Hope you're still listening, honey.
Oh, she is.
Are you like... really screaming with that blue haze on the inside of your windshield? Oh, golly, I hope so. Gee willikers. That's part of the crowd that gets the double-digit IQ compliment.
But, yeah, I like to think of them as frozen food IQ.
Okay, either way.
Yeah, was it Clarence Birdseye that invented that? You know.
Oh, some fellow from Minnesota with long underwear. What the heck do I know? I'm Southern. I just eat the peas and the corn. Never mind the guy that came up with it.
Right.
Well, let's get back to the missing 8 billion in Iraq.
Right.
You just gave us chapter and verse on how we don't have enough money to really pursue the Enrons or the, any of the others or, gosh, all those other things. But we've got enough money to turn the screws on labor unions.
Right.
It's not an incident, Bob. It's a trend. Please, please, all you listeners, please remember, 2 years ago, we've gone to Iraq, we've toppled Saddam Hussein, victory has been, you know, announced, and now we're, we, our government, and I use we in the right sense, we, our government, has said, now we're going to put all of this money in there. It may not be needed because the oil money is going to fix the country. That's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
And when those Democrats and Republicans within our legislative branch said, well, okay, fine, we're going to put some money out there, those thinking Democrats and Republicans, in combination with the GAO, the Government Accounting Office,
right,
they're not elected, they're intensely qualified, wonderfully educated, caring people. Probably if there's any part of government that needs to be respected, it's the GAO.
Yeah.
The GAO applied the normal, everyday formulas combining geographical area, amount of money, and numbers of application points or grants or wads of dough that was going to be handed out.
Yeah.
And the GAO said in a report that's over 2 years old, there needs to be a minimum of 12 auditors on the ground in Iraq with a staff of two, one driver, one translator, and a really fine automobile to keep track of this stuff. Because this amount of money, the speed that it's going to be dispersed, and the delays, and the frists, and maybe even Newt writing a couple of letters, and certainly Trent Lott, they grabbed the emergency brake handle, and before it was over, and this formula, Bob, this formula derives from if the money was going to be distributed like that in the United States of America, the GAO wanted 12 auditors.
Yeah.
The brakes were put on, and they grudgingly let three auditors with no staff be appointed.
And told America that we ought to be damned grateful to get those.
Precisely. So there's three guys with no staff, no translator, and probably all they can do is go out and ask Muhammad to borrow that 98 Toyota that's somewhere in his brother-in-law's hands.
You know, 675,000 miles on it.
Exactly. You know, and it's got a Nissan transmission underneath it. And we're wondering, somebody's wondering why there's only $8 billion? Oh, I'm being cynical again. Golly, Lucinda, okay, whack my wrist, would you, dear?
No, you're...
I'm being cynical and ranting.
No, you're a six-year-old, David. You're a six-year-old.
Oh, exactly.
I'm a seven-year-old.
Well, you are the host, Bob. I'm sorry, you're the adult. You're a responsible person.
It's not like we don't tell them it's a sandbox, for God's sakes, David.
Oh, you ask them to think. That really gets their shorts in the wad. Oh, well, anyway, I wanted to call in and help you understand where the $8 billion went. Because they wanted it to go, Bob.
Well, I mean...
No pun intended. They wanted it to be easy.
I don't think it showed up...
Brown and Root, they wanted it to be easy for Halliburton. They wanted it to be easy for Ahmed Shalabi. They wanted it to be easy to channel that money right past the Iraqi people, right past the Kurds, right past the Sunnis, right past the Shiites, and back into horrid, horrid, lying, thieving Republican hands to bring it back home to build great big houses and buy great big boats.
Nothing but net.
Exactly.
You're right, David. And there was another story out there. I had forgotten about the GAO story. There was another one out there that was a real beauty, too. And that was the explanation that we lost some of this money because, you see, there is not an appropriate banking system in Iraq.
and we had to do business in cash. And there were literally backpacks full of $100 bills. And that's how we paid contractors. Yeah.
It was difficult for a grown man to pick up some of those knapsacks.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry.
Get the forklift.
Exactly. It's not. They were done in pallets, for God's sake. And, there's not a good banking system in Iraq? Oh, do you think?
Wonder that's why.
The exploding buildings and all the rest of it, and Saddam Hussein before that. And, we didn't research that. Curveball said there were banks when we started this
country. Curveball!
Curveball said there were banks when we started this little soiree.
And bring me another bottle of Thanqueray.
Exactly.
The four roses will do.
Got any Kesslers?
Oh, God.
I'm like an IMC with a Kessler's back.
Well, and mobile weapons labs, right over there behind the pawn shades.
Oh, exactly. One cat leaving the bar has only one eye. All right, enough of that. We've been frivolous enough. Gee, are you still mad, Lucinda? Gee willikers, I hope so. Your liver is just twisting. Tune in again.
She tunes in every night. Every time you hear one of those, every now and then, this station is on my car when I get in it, and I don't know why. Every time you hear that, you know that she's sitting there just gnawing on her liver night in and night out and just finally got the nerve to call in, and all she could come up with was, you're a seven-year-old.
No mean spirit intended, Bob, but don't tune in to WWNR by accident.
No.
Not exactly a 50,000-watt flamethrower covering the entire East Coast here, brother. You got to be finding this baby on burp.
Yeah, you got to want it. Thanks, David.
I do, and thank you for the stream, and I enjoy the chance to play in the sandbox.
You're always welcome. Take care.
Good night.
And Cherie. Hey, Cherie, you're head on.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I come to play in the sandbox, too.
Oh, good. Do we have our claws out?
Oh, no. I got the claws. But, Lucinda, have you ever watched Ellen Enchanted? Have you seen it, Bob?
Sort of back and forth in and out of the living room, yeah.
Well, it's lovely. Lucinda is the goofy fairy that everything she does goes awry.
Okay.
Now.
The moron fairy?
More like the dim-witted fairy.
The dipstick fairy?
Well, you know, she got caught for flying while under the influence.
Oh, okay.
Just stay away from the cosmopolitans, and in the 6-block radius that this goes out in, just keep driving around the block. You'll keep hearing it. You know, and sprinkle some fairy dust on your way, and maybe Bob will quit ranting. But I wish her the best, you know.
Somebody needs to.
Well, you know, evidently she didn't have her kitty claws out, and I understand everybody has opposing views. That's fine.
Sure. I got no problem with that.
But I don't think you're 6. I think you're more like 12.
Well, thanks.
It's the pubescent thing.
I've been promoted. By someone ostensibly on my own side.
No, actually, you're the adult and we're the kids. We come in and we bicker and fight. I mean, you know, if she really wants to get her pickle on, she needs to get on the boards. Because I'm sure that everyone there would love to play with her and hear her opinions.
You know, you're right.
So, come on, Lucinda. We're waiting for you. Come and play.
And it's free.
And paying in cash. Well, let's see. Isn't that called under the table? How do you declare taxes
that? It's under the Oriental rug at the when you're over there.
Well, you know, if I lived in a very dangerous area that people wanted to blow my head off, I would hope that I would get paid enough to be able to take the risk. But I think that they're probably being underpaid, and Halliburton has taken their share.
Oh, yeah. That $8.8 billion wasn't lost, Cherie.
You know that.
No, they have it in their piggy bank.
Yeah.
With their $5,000 shower curtains.
And $15,000 umbrella stands. Exactly.
Well, and you know, every doghouse needs an air conditioner. Just ask Tammy Faye Baker.
And God only knows how much the mascara costs.
Yeah. Well, Coco the Clown is donating that now. So they try to help each other out. But it's sad when you think about the money. I was reading an article today on President Bush, and the fuzzy math is just not adding up.
How so?
The tax cuts that we're supposed to be getting aren't really tax cuts.
Really?
Really.
But are they?
There's a lot of people who thought that it was going to benefit them, and they're getting the screws put to them.
I'll be darned. No, not from a Bush.
Well, you know, it's supposed to help people out, and it seems more to be crippling because it just doesn't add up. You know, I'm middle class, and I have four children, and still yet, somehow, I owe taxes. I'm not quite sure how that went, but I'm going back to H&R Block and telling them, you know, to check their list twice, because something's not right there. I don't want what doesn't belong to me, but I don't want what belongs to me taken away.
You know, somehow I can identify that with that, but you're probably, you know, if you apply what Lucinda thinking to it, you're probably acting like a seven-year-old.
Well, you know, at my age, and I'm below mid-scale, I'll say that much.
Okay.
If I want to regress and act like a seven-year-old when I'm off the clock, then by golly, my kids and I have a great time. I can be a seven-year-old.
Well, it's kind of good for you from time to time, isn't it?
Well, I had the Wendy syndrome.
You know, and you know, there's a certain, I mean, there's a lot of truth in what you say, Cherie. I used to have to take blood pressure medication. I started this show. I don't have to take blood pressure medication anymore. Well, I don't bottle it up. I let it out.
Getting things off your chest really works. Unless you're in the express lane and there's a woman in front of you with 13 items and you only have 12. And you attack her. That's bad.
Well, that's Florida, and you can blow her away for that.
Well, you know, it's that anger management thing.
Yeah.
It's like when somebody cuts you off and you start doing those little hand signals and the horrible words pop out of your mouth.
You mean when you start showing them the state outline of West Virginia?
Oh, pretty much. It's, you know, it's...
I know. Cherie, thanks so much. I appreciate you jumping in and getting my back.
Oh, thank you. And Lucinda, bring your fairy dust. We need some help.
Later.
Bye.
And Jeff. Hey, Jeff, you're right on. Jeff.
What's up, Bob?
I don't know. What's up?
I don't know. Do you know a whole lot about the new bankruptcy bill?
If you're saying have I read it, no, I have not. I have read portions of what it applies to.
You and John were talking about how it like basically gives millionaires, it lets them off.
It does create havens for being able to protect assets in bankruptcy that do not apply to ordinary people.
Why should a millionaire be filing for bankruptcy?
Don't ask me. I've never been one. Why'd you call Donald Trump? He does it all the time.
You say it takes away from the poor people.
Yes, right? Yes.
I don't understand that logic when the bill plainly states if you make under $50,000 a year, you still have the same rights you did.
And if you do you understand what $50,000 is now, Jeff? That's not rich.
Well, what do you mean? I mean, it's $50,000 a year. Do you make that? I don't make that.
No, we're talking about assets, Jeff.
No, if your income is $50,000 a year or less, you can still write it all off and pay nothing. That's what the law says.
And you're certain of that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you're over $50,000 a year,
you get thrown into Chapter 13.
And they look at your debt, and the way it's written, if you can afford to pay it off, they'll set up a payment plan.
And they will force you to pay for credit counseling prior to bankruptcy.
I'm not sure if they do that or not.
It's in there. And
did you read it or not?
I have read portions of it. I have not read the entire bill, Jeff. Okay, are we square? I want to throw one more thing.
I want to clarify one thing I said too. Can I?
Go ahead.
It's either 50,000 or over the median of your state.
It is the median.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
And the median can be
Well, the median is the median.
Well, no. No, it's really not, because it depends on how many people you have in your household.
Well, the median of your state
is the median for the household with X number of persons in it. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? You know, there's a median income for a family of six. There's a median income for a family of four, a family of two, a family of one.
But see, it was talking in the Charleston, because I mean, it, like when I was talking about the 50,000, I thought a second, and I thought maybe it is. Because I'm not, I haven't really immersed myself into it.
But remember, that's a look back, Jeff. Do you know what a look back is?
Not exactly.
A look back is looking back at the money you have been making. Okay? So we look back at last year, and you made whatever the median was, or you made above it.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, your wife got cancer.
Well, I mean,
and
you're
bang.
I'm not
putting out anything. The fact of the matter is, most of the bankruptcies in this country are generated by medical emergencies and medical bills.
A lot of them are not, though. I mean, maybe 55 or 60%. But what about this other 40%? In the Charleston paper this weekend, it was talking about somebody with $800,000+ worth of assets and $400,000 in debt. Now, why should that person not have to sell off $400,000 of their asset and pay this debt that they legitimately ran up?
Well, why? Now, what I don't understand about you, Jeff, is why you're defending the credit card companies.
Because.
Do you know what secured debt is?
That is debt that you take, that you put up something that, if you don't pay it back, that they take.
Right. That's your house, your car,
yeah,
your boat, that
that's
kind of thing.
That's a secured loan.
Right. And in every form of the jurisprudence and virtually anywhere in this country, secured debt comes first. Now, this bankruptcy bill is an absolute giveaway for the credit card companies that elevates them, unsecured debtors, because when they loaned you that money, it's a credit card. It's a loan, okay? It's a line of credit. And this elevates them to the status of secured creditors.
But you're not saying that somebody that gets a credit card in the mail, let's say they don't deserve it. Let's say it's a 30-year-old with no credit and no job. That still doesn't give him blank check to go out and max that card out.
No, but by the same token, Jeff, I mean, consider some of the amendments that were offered here. We're running out of time. You tell me if this is crazy talk. Is it absolutely wrong for a credit card company to have to explain to someone that they are asking to take their credit? You know, you get these solicitations in the mail, Jeff. You know, I know that. You know, you're not out there begging them; they're begging you.
Well,
and when you do that, do you think it would be fair to explain to somebody that if you run up this $5,000 debt on this $5,000 limit card, if you do that and you only make the minimum payments that you're going to be paying on it for 16 years, is that too much to ask?
No, I think that there's a lot of people with dirty hands in this, but I think that people of a sound mind. I mean, I don't want a blanket statement and generalize.
I know what you're saying, but you know what? When you've got universal default, where if you're late on your power bill, your credit card interest rate goes to 29%. When you've got refusal to disclose what the interest rates are, and when you top all that off by the fact that it's not you going to the credit card company asking them for credit, it's them begging you to take it. I can't work up a big tear fest for the credit card companies.
I've understood, but now a person that's got $1 million in assets shouldn't be able to write off $200,000 either, should they?
No, they just moved to a state that has huge bankruptcy protections, and none of it ever gets touched. Okay. Look at Florida. You can have a house and not even live in it. and it's outside bankruptcy.
Okay.
Jeff, we got to roll. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Later. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
this is Mark Anthony for Red, recording artist, actors, and athletes of his front driving. Music is one of the most important things in my life, but nothing is more important than life itself. So choose a designated driver. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
The public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, the U.S. Department of Transportation, National Association of Broadcasters, and RAD.
If you seek the help of a financial planner, you have the right to advice that is competent, ethical, and based on your needs. For the booklet, Your Rights as a Financial Planning Client, call Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards toll-free at 888-CFP-MARK. That's 1-888-237-6275. Or visit cfp.net.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. You can depend on us. News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 10 o'clock.
Thank you, Amber. You know, when it comes to fighting crime, he's never going to roll over. He's McGruff the Crime Dog.
Oh, Amber, you're okay, Joy.
Thanks.
And I got two words to make your neighborhood safer.
Uh-huh.
Coffee cake.
Ah, the old poison coffee cake trick. The cook takes a bite, falls down to the ground.
Oh, it's for your neighbors.
You want to poison your neighbors?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
No, for 25 years, I've been giving tips about preventing crime. One of them is to invite people over for a cup of coffee and share the problems you see on your street and what to do about
them. That's great.
You can invite your local police officer to help, too.
You know, I hear they're very fond of donuts.
No, that's just a myth.
Oh, well, I'd come to your doghouse for coffee cake in a safer neighborhood.
Now you're talking. You can cut down on crime by not just locking your door, but opening up to your neighbors.
Still, a 10-pound bunch cake dropped on a bad guy's foot could help.
It couldn't hurt. Go on to
a message from the U.S. Department of Justice, Crime Prevention Coalition for America, the National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
He's got a brain, and he's not afraid to use it. Liberally, of course. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 9 o'clock, I'm Bob Kincaid. Oh, I forgot to do the chloroseptic thing. Yeah. Let's go straight to the phones. 252-6200 is the number. Outside Beckley, 800-620-WWNR. This, yeah, Jose. Hey, Jose, you're head on. Jose?
Yeah, Bob.
There you are. How are you?
Well, I had a wreck today on a lawn tractor.
Oh, my. You all right?
Well, I went up, it took about a 15-foot chain. It took me to the creek, but I didn't get off.
All you can do is hang on.
It moved bones, Bob. I won't have to go to the chiropractor. I feel better. Do you think that's possible?
I think all things are possible, Jose.
It jerked me every way. It scared me, though.
Oh, mercy. Was it wet ground or just...
It got away from me. I'm just starting out, and you know how you change vehicles and from a lawn tractor and not used to it, and... It shouldn't have got away, but it got away from me and took me all the way down in there.
That's some scary business. I bought one of those a few years ago, and I made the fellow who sold it to you. It had those lawn tires on it, and I made him put ag tires on the back.
Uh-huh.
Just because those things, they can be scary. I mean, if you're trying to work on a slope or something.
You got to watch.
You sure do. You know what you can do, Jose? If you go to the...
I had weights on it and took it off.
If you go to the auto parts store, a great warning system. It's just got a little suction cup on the bottom. It's a ball.
Uh-huh.
And it's a rollover predictor.
Yeah.
And it's a ball, you know, floating in liquid. Remember like those old compasses you used to get and put on your dashboard?
Yes. Same principle.
Yeah, same principle. If that thing begins to tilt, that ball gets where it's going to move into the red, you know you're getting into trouble.
Right.
And they're awful handy to have on a tractor.
Yeah. I just heard your news. I don't think they should kill gorillas to get their palms.
Oh, isn't that just awful?
Just to make an ashtray out of.
There's a lot of sick people out there, Jose.
Man, it's getting worse all the time, Bob. I just wanted to say hello. I don't know what your topic is. I'm going to take a shower and go to bed.
Well, I tell you what, you get you some ibuprofen or some aspirin before you go, if you can take it.
Okay.
You're liable to be a little sore tomorrow.
All right. Jehovah bless.
And you as well, sir. Take care.
All right.
Bye now. David. David.
Hello, Bob. I just couldn't resist calling in again. You know,
that's okay.
All we callers, we always want to color our point and gild our lily and all the rest of it, but now and then I've got to say something in contrast. I heard a concern about this bankruptcy law and whether or not it was good or bad to tighten it up, make it tougher, et cetera, et cetera. And the inference was that a mythical person worth $800,000 in downtown Charleston was not going to be allowed to write off $400,000 in debt. Now, I don't know if that's research or not, but to really accurately color this bankruptcy bill, there are some bigger and there are some lesser points, but number one, beyond anything else, two good Republicans, believe it or not, joined two good Democrats and said, it looks like this bill is headed toward passage. Weasels like Mr. Biden, a Democrat that I detest because of his support of that bill, and a few others were ramming it through, and a couple of guys said, look, it looks like it's going to pass. We want to tack something onto it. We want to give some protection to the military.
Yeah.
We want the military serving overseas. We want the military that's seen a drastic change in their income because of their devotion to the United States enjoy a slightly different level of protection than a guy working a civilian job, living at home, et cetera, et cetera. And the Republican majority, the tyranny of the majority, stepped in and squelched it.
You're right.
This guardsman, and now then, I will say this is an abstract example. You've got a guardsman. He and his wife are living paycheck to paycheck, but they're doing what they ought to do. He goes to Iraq. Somehow they keep it together. He's extended for a second tour, and now then the credit card debt is eating her alive at home with kids, but the Republican majority made sure that that woman, wife of a guardsman, who's been extended beyond 12 months, that guy gets no more of a break than a 22-year-old that just rode that card into the ground in college. That's the Republican color. That's the ugly blackness of that side of it. And that's fact. That's not a mythic person in Charleston with an $800,000 estate saying, oh, I don't want to pay $400,000 worth of bills. There are guardsmen that are having their cars, their homes taken away from them because their income was cut in half because they were extended with a backdoor draft.
Well, you're right. Yeah, and it's wrong, it's sickening, and then it's further evidence of the Bush administration's support of the troops. You know, this is the same administration that is still being begged for additional up-armored Humvees in Iraq.
One man from Kentucky just set that state on fire about 3 weeks ago. And after a young man from Tennessee several months ago, and I heard callers to your show say, oh, that's just one crank from one unit. Well, it's not one crank from one unit. It's a lot of kids that know the score. They're scavenging equipment, but...
Yeah, they're still scavenging, by the way.
Oh, absolutely. One in three vehicles that they're required to drive, live in, stake their life on, one in three is improperly equipped to do the job.
Well, and I don't know if you caught this one or not, David. I saw a story the other day. The old vehicles that the Iraqi army had under Saddam that we didn't bother to secure when we were busy toppling him, you know, all the armories and things that went unguarded. You remember that whole flap and George Bush said, there's nothing to that. That's not true. Well, we're trying to re-equip the Iraqi army, and we've gone to try to find their vehicles. And this is not a joke. They're up on blocks.
Because the insurgents have created a little bit of a scavenger hunt.
Sure they have. And now American soldiers are going into the back alleys and the black markets of Baghdad with our money, taxpayers' money. Now, I'm not gooning on the soldiers, but following orders. And they are going and buying the wheels back of vehicles that the insurgents stole.
Ooh, there goes our $8 billion. Gosh, if we'd have just put 50 cents worth of troops around all of that stuff, we wouldn't be spending thousands to buy it back from guys who may be contributing to Al-Qaeda after they sell us the spare tire.
Do you ever get the idea, David, that we're kind of... What? Behind the eight
ball.
Upside down, behind the eight ball, and really when it comes right down to it, we're babes in the woods. I mean, this is not a racial comment, this is not a cult, like, it's kind of a cultural comment. When your ancestors and my ancestors were still fighting each other over, you know, walnuts in the trees, this culture was haggling. This culture invented writing, and they invented writing so they could do accounting.
A lot of people don't want to remember, never want to hear it said, some of the most basic, brilliant, indispensable concepts of mathematics came out of the Middle East. The concept of zero was invented in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. Those are the people that realized that there was zero and there was minus. No one had figured that out.
Ah, yes, that other terrorist network, the Algebra.
Yeah, exactly. It terrorized me in high school and college, I can guarantee you.
Drove me to prayer. In school.
You know, 2,000 years ago, they were doing that. We weren't. And, gosh, and you're sending soldiers over there to deal with those guys, and all they've ever done is be fleeced at a Walmart, and they're talking about guys that have been bartering for 2,000 years and making a great life out of it.
Come here, son. I got a spare tire for you. Uh-oh.
Exactly. step up to the spare tire window, sonny. Khalil, go get the spare tire. We got a live one.
What was that word he just used? Sir, it translates as pigeon. Thanks, David.
Bob, hope the rest of the night goes well.
I think it will. Thanks for the laugh. Okay, break time. When we come back, more of your calls. 252-6200. Outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
So that's what covers some ideas, and my job is to, like, think beyond the immediate.
Head On.
It's time for the YMCA Spring Break Camp. It happens April 18th through the 22nd at the YMCA from 7:30 to 5:30 every day. Just bring your swimsuits, towels, and a packed lunch, or $3 for lunch. There will be swimming, movies, outings, and most of all,
fun.
Call 252-0715 for more information. That's 252-0715 for the YMCA Spring Break Camp. And remember, summer's just around the corner. The YMCA Summer Day Camp is a safe, fun, and exciting way for your child to spend the summer. You can sign up now at the Y.
Around the block, just up your street, we're the neighbors you should meet. There are lives we live and dreams we share. We drive your streets and we're always there.
No matter how healthy you are, after age 65, you have over a 70% chance of needing some kind of long-term care. That's why you need long-term care insurance from State Farm Mutual Automobile Insurance Company. It can help you protect you from the cost of extended care. And who better to talk to about it than your local State Farm agent for costs and complete coverage details. Call agents Regina Eccles in Hinton, or Herb Garlitz in Beckley, or Jerry Gibbons in Somersville. Statistics cited in long-term care, knowing the risk, paying the price. Health Insurance Association of America, 1997.
A tip for older drivers from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
Take a more active role in your driving by scanning the road for potential hazards. Move your head and your eyes. And using your side view mirrors combined with your rear view mirror can keep you informed as to traffic and obstacles all around you.
With a little practice, you'll be more aware of everything around you than you've ever been. And that's the right step toward making an older driver a wiser and safer driver.
For a free brochure on older driver safety, call 1-800-993-7222.
A man who just loves conservatives, baked, boiled, or fried. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 19 and a half minutes after 9 o'clock. Jeff is back with us. Hey, Jeff, your head on. Jeff.
I'm on.
Yes, you are.
That wasn't a fictional make-believe. That was in the Charleston paper.
Okay, well, that's why he said I don't. That's why he said I don't know if he was referring to a real situation or a hypothetical.
No, that's real because it was talked about this morning. There was a couple or three.
No. That's real because it was talked about this morning. No. That's not a basis for factual reality around here.
Well, it's real. It's in the Charleston paper.
Okay, well, maybe that's a basis for reality.
But you know the rules still state that if you're under what they are going to base as the median income, you still can do under the old, you can still file bankruptcy under the old rules. It's not, you, they haven't taken anything away from the poor.
Well, so what you're saying, again, I disagree with you, Jeff, because if last year you made $75,000, and to cite one example, your husband gets shipped off to Iraq, and this year you make $25,000, you're going to be judged on a $75,000 standard in a $25,000 world.
I don't know if that's the case or not, because they can't judge you on money that you didn't make. You made National Guard pay.
No, yes, they absolutely can, because they can't judge you on your future. They judge you on what you made.
This year, your last full year.
Right. So you're busy making $25,000 right now, but last year you made $75,000 before you got called up.
Well, I mean, you guys can go and
find
hypotheticals and, well, if this person and if that person and
why
and such gets sick.
Why are, Jeff, this is a philosophical question, okay? Why are you on the side of the credit card companies? They don't like you, Jeff. You're not their buddy.
I don't have any credit cards.
Okay.
And to hear people call in, you know, you let people call me names and call me.
No, I don't let them. I let people talk.
You know.
Now, Jeff, just.
They can call me anything they want to, but I'm smart enough not to have credit cards and not max them out. I don't have one and I don't want one. Everybody else out there.
Do you have a mortgage?
No. Everybody out there has the same opportunity I did to say no.
Do you have a car note?
No.
You're utterly debt free.
Yep.
Congratulations. You're a very rare minority on earth.
I'm a thin, thrifty person, and I don't do stupid things. I use my mind.
Okay. So everybody, just a minute, because you know you see these things, Jeff. And I think on further reflection, sometimes you regret them.
And, I don't know.
And
I guess you could think that.
One of the things you just, I mean, because there are some basic assumptions underlying what you're asserting here. And one of those assumptions that I think you're making is, and I'm not being mean, that you're going to be healthy and well forever.
Yeah, I understand that.
Okay. What do you do when someone you love gets sick and the bills start mounting up and, okay, you don't have a credit card?
I'll bet you,
do the solicitations show up in your mailbox?
Sometimes.
Okay. And,
I throw them away. They don't ever make it in the house.
I burn them.
I'm not kidding. How about them?
I would advise you to, especially the ones that come and they say, sign this check and take it to the bank.
They send checks all the time.
Burn them.
They send them to me, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to say any incantations or dance around them in the midnight moonlight. Burn them, because somebody can burn you with them if you don't.
Well, see, Bob, we have a lot of people out there that don't have health insurance,
mm-hmm.
but they have nice houses and nice cars and TVs and cell phones.
Now, you're saying that we have lots of people who have that. I disagree with you.
You don't think there's people out there with no health insurance and with new cars?
I didn't say none. I said I don't think there are lots of them. No, that's a different thing.
You have a lot of people that are filing for bankruptcy that have new cars and cell phones. There's something the matter with that.
There is?
Sure there is. Because if they can't afford to pay this bill, why should they be going out and buying new cars?
So people's economic fortunes never change.
They were not in a position to pay for stuff. You don't get yourself overextended. You don't get yourself out there to where,
Jeff,
I'm not going to buy something.
Jeff, I'm
not going to buy to go out and finance something, and then something happened to my income, and me go under. If I want a new boat, or a camper, a big RV, and it costs $35,000.
Right.
I'm going to start saving.
Good.
It might take me a couple years. It might take me 3 years. But I'm not going to go out and buy that thing and owe $400 a month for 20 years.
You know what? I admire you for that, Jeff.
You know, I'm not
blowing smoke at you. I admire you for that. And if other people would behave that way on the things that are strictly creature comforts,
mm-hmm.
I think we would have a different society. Because I think one of the problems we have is this immediate gratification thing that we've got going on.
You're absolutely right. It's how we are now.
On the other hand, I don't know quite how to refer to it, and I'm not being, you know, I've been mean to you, and you've been mean to me, but I'm not being mean to you now. You either have never been through the circumstance or never known someone who's been through the circumstance. I have. When a loved one is laid up in a hospital that's 200 miles from where you live, and you have to use plastic to stay in a hotel room that is a block and a half from the hospital so you can go and see your loved one every day for 7 months, that's not a creature comfort. That's not the new bass boat. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let me finish it, because this is not an analogy. This is real.
Yeah.
You eat in a restaurant every day on plastic. You live in a motel room every day on plastic. And it goes on for 7 months. And because you've got perfect credit and have religiously paid your credit card bills, you picked up the phone and, oh, well, absolutely, certainly, sir. Let us raise your rate for you because we understand. All right? And the next thing you know, you've got a monstrous debt, but you had no choice. Now, I'm not talking about the predatory lenders here. You had no choice. You had to be at your loved one's side.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'd like to think that in America, we don't just walk off and abandon our loved ones.
I understand that there's medical circumstances. I don't see why we couldn't have written into the bill that...
Because the credit card companies told Congress, Jeff, that people with medical bills are deadbeats.
I understand, but, you know, just the way they are seeing it.
And I understand your objections, but your objections are not middle-class objections. I mean, you want to get mad at somebody about bankruptcy? Get mad at the $1 million a year plus crowd that does have means of hiding their assets before they ever declare bankruptcy.
Well, I don't know if they can do that or not.
They can, Jeff. I don't just make this stuff
up.
Well,
you can't, if you have money in the bank, you can't just take it out.
No, you pay a lawyer to create a trust fund. Or you ship it offshore.
Or a house. You can't just sell a house.
or your house is in one of these bankruptcy-protected states, they exist. Learn about them. Florida's one of them. I'm not kidding.
Well, maybe
you know,
so.
What you're complaining about, the abuses you are complaining about, are not the abuses of the corn beans, of the cornbread and brown beans crowd.
Well, I know several people that's filed, and none of them's been for medical. I mean, I'm only speaking from what I know. They're not been for medical.
Well, you know,
I know what the end result of them bankruptcies has been, and I don't think it's been very fair.
Well,
people have taken shortcuts in life to get things. You know, I was in Princeton Walmart about a month ago.
Shame on you.
And this is a true, honest-to-God story. I was returning something at the return desk, and one of the ladies in the red shirts, like the managers wear, managers wear these red shirts.
Yeah, the scary
red shirts. With the brown.
Yeah.
And she come over, and like a register was fouled up or something, and she come over and stuck her key in and put her magic... her secret code in there, you know, and unlocked it for everybody. And she had her hand there, and the girl that was working the register said, "Wow, look at the rings you've got on your hands." And she said, "Yeah, you like them?" That girl running that register said, "Yeah, when'd you get them?" She said, "Oh, back last year, right before I filed for bankruptcy." I swear, the woman said that, and my jaw hit the floor. I thought, my goodness, I wouldn't say that in front of people.
Well, who do you think probably taught her how to, I mean... But,
probably Walmart.
Bingo. You know,
they're the one with the Rolodex, the stamps numbers in them.
Exactly. But I mean, what I'm trying to get you to understand here is that there are situations with which you have not yet been cursed, Jeff.
Well.
And before you start hammering the middle class, look at the people who are really abusing the process. It ain't us.
I'll agree that some people end up because of medical bills. But you also agree that some people take advantage
you can call it taking advantage of the situation when, say, you lose your job. But you,
no, I'm talking about somebody that runs it up on purpose.
Well, yeah, and there are people who run it up on purpose. For instance, you lost your job and you got to live on credit cards for the next 3 months. And they jack that, and they abuse their credit cards because their children have to eat. Now, are we going to advance that credit card company to the same status as the person who holds your mortgage? No.
I don't know.
That's wrong. It's okay to say it's wrong. These people are... Oh, God, they're credit companies. We got to get out of here, Jeff.
Okay, thanks.
Later.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A weekend brush fire that burned an acre of land in Prosperity may have been deliberately set. About a dozen firefighters responded to the blaze Saturday off Jim Bailey Road Farm. The fire burned almost an acre of land before it was extinguished. Bradley Prosperity Fire Chief Bruce James says the fire happened out in the middle of nowhere and did not involve buildings. The fire is thought to have been arson. James says they have a suspect and the fire is under investigation. No one was injured. Renovations and repairs are on the way to the dam at Mon Cove Lake State Park in Monroe County. The work starts in mid-May. Preparations now require water in the lake to be drained. It will remain drained until the project is finished, but the rest of the park will be open, as usual, this summer. The campaign against Senator Byrd has become a nearly incessant drumbeat, even though the election is more than 18 months away. The National Republican Senatorial Committee pitches anti-Byrd story ideas almost daily and passes along examples of media scrutiny directed at the 87-year-old. But political observers think the steady attacks are actually meant to persuade Byrd not to run. Larry Sabato, professor at the University of Virginia and director of its Center for Politics, says Republicans are trying to convince Byrd that, unlike his recent campaign, the 2006 race will be very difficult and dirty. One of the key supporters of the failed table games bill in this year's legislative session is not ready to let that matter die. Ohio County Senator Andy McKenzie wants Governor Manchin to take up the issue in a special session likely to be called in September or October about pay raises for public workers. That's the news. Here's the forecast for the rest of this evening. Partly cloudy and mild. Now temperatures in the mid to upper 60s. The rest of the night then partly cloudy, low 50. And for Tuesday, partly cloudy. Once again, tomorrow's high, mid 70s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
The world championship match had already lasted over 5 months. The young man was going strong. His story next on Biography for Radio.
The notion of a 40-hour work week is several hours short of reality. Working long hours is a given when you run your own business. And since it's tough to be away from your business during the day, we offer special gold key hours, early morning hours from 7 to 10, when we're open exclusively for business members. We know that time and money are important to you. Helping you make the most of both is why we're here. Sam's Club. We are in business for small business.
It was 1984. The World Chess Championship was underway between the reigning champion, Anatoly Karpov, a young newcomer. Karpov was a veteran. His 21-year-old rival from Azerbaijan was said to be brilliant, a little eccentric. Before each match, he read Russian poetry. It gave him inspiration, he said. To win the championship, one player had to take 6 games. But the two were well matched. Game after game was a draw. Karpov was dog-tired. He had lost 22 pounds in the weeks of play and had been hospitalized several times. But he was one game from winning and wanted to play on. So it came as a shock when the International Chess Federation called off the match, saying the players were exhausted. The younger man was bitter, but a year later he got his revenge. At the age of 22, he beat Karpov and became the youngest ever world chess champion. In the years following, he made headlines by outwitting the chess-playing computer Deep Blue, and then later losing to the machine. In March 2005, he stunned the world by suddenly announcing his retirement. With his avid interest in Russian politics, it is unlikely to be the last we hear from chess genius, Garry Kasparov. For Biography, I'm Lawrence Scott.
Biography is a trademark of A&D.
West Virginia's only live nighttime talker, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Thanks to the inimitable John Kempe for all the new bumper music. He freshened it up a little bit over the weekend. Does a great job. Listen, while we're talking about corporate depredations and credit card companies, things like that, a little something for you to ponder, if I can find it. I had it. No, there it is. Among consumers, the way we run up, and, you know, it would be disingenuous of me to say that there are not people who run up irresponsible debt with their credit cards. And so, you know, unsecured debt. Well, what is the state equivalent of going hog wild with your credit cards? Because there is one. What is the state equivalent of going hog wild with your credit cards? Bond issues. Bond issues. Now, we're going to have a pension bond referendum sometime this summer. What, June? Maybe? I could be wrong. Did you hear this story earlier today? As a tax-paying West Virginia citizen, it should be disturbing to you. Two of the country's lead, this is from the AP, not just making it up, I don't make things up. Two of the country's leading credit rating agencies have expressed caution as West Virginia prepares to sell more than $5 billion in bonds pending voter approval. Pending voter approval. That would be you. The state wants the bonds, you know this, for public pension funds. Now, Standard & Poor's, and they're kind of the credit reporting service for entities that do bonds. Standard & Poor's says that the bond issue, the $5 billion, because I hear $5 billion and West Virginia in the same sentence,
and it sends cold chills up my spine. Because somewhere along the way, I'm going to be on the hook for that. This is credit card debt that's being run up in my name. We already know that, given my age now, I'm going to be working to pay off the workers' comp bond debt. Well, I won't get it paid off before I retire. My kids get that. Significantly increase the state's debt burden. Fitch Ratings says that this bond issue would raise the state's bonded debt ratio. I have no idea how to calculate it. This bond issue would raise the state's bonded debt ratio to among the highest of any state. Listen carefully. I mean, this is because, again, if you're my age, 10 years younger than me, we're talking about a bond issue that's going to take the rest of your working life to pay off. Okay? Fitch Ratings says this bond issue would raise the state's bonded debt ratio to among the highest of any state in modern times. Your New York's, your California's, your Florida's. We will, in essence, be transformed into a third world debtor state. Hey, maybe Paul Wolfowitz can give us a loan from over there at the World Bank. We're a third world state. Think about that. Right now, 2004 numbers from Moody's Investor Service. And these are the serious people. These are the people who get up thinking about money, have lunch thinking about money, kiss their wives thinking about money, hug their children thinking about money, get home thinking about money, have dinner thinking about money, watch TV thinking about money, and go to bed thinking about money. When they're not thinking about money, the Fitches and the Moody's and the Standard and Poor's types, when they're not thinking about money, they're thinking about money. I mean, these are the serious priests from the inner sanctum of the temple. And I really mean to use that analogy. Money is our God, and I don't care what Donald Wildman, wildly wealthy, I don't care what James Dobson, millionaire, I don't care what Jerry Falwell, millionaire, I don't care what Pat Robertson, millionaire, I don't care what any of these millionaire religion industry types say, money is the God in America. We have, never mind. Think about these numbers. Compare them to, say, your household debt, your monthly budget. The 2004 numbers from Moody's Investor Service. West Virginia has close to around about $859 in revenue-supported debt for every state resident. That's not every adult. That's not every person of working age. That's old folks in nursing homes and little bitty babies still wet from the womb. West Virginia has $859 of revenue-supported debt for every single West Virginian. Makes us 20th nationwide. Now, in Connecticut, it's $3,558. Okay? Connecticut has the highest debt per capita, $3,558. Watch the magic. If we pass, this is scary. If we pass this $5 billion in pension bonds, West Virginia's debt, West Virginia's credit cards, will fly.
to nearly $3,900. From $859 to $3,900 per West Virginian. You still digesting on that one? $3,900 a year we will have in bond debt, revenue-supported bond debt. $3,900. That cute little baby giggling and cooing in its bassinet. $3,900 a year in bond debt. Now, here's the other side of the coin. What you'll hear, and they'll ratchet it up here in a little bit, because, the nature of an election cycle. And, of course, anyone opposing this will be hopelessly outgunned, because there will be some sort of monstrous advertising campaign to get you to go out and support this credit card frenzy. $3,900 per resident, and number one right now is $3,558. That's 300 and change more than Connecticut. You know, Connecticut, where, like, people who work on Wall Street live. People who make huge amounts of money. Arguably, Connecticut can afford it. Now, can you and me, the beans and cornbread generation, can we afford it? But again, you're going to be told, well, your taxes won't go up. And they won't. Your taxes won't go up. The question is, are you silly enough to let that be the only judgment that you make? Your taxes won't go up. Anybody notice what happened on Wall Street last week? Wall Street took a huge screaming nosedive. 3 days. 3 days out of last week, there were 100-point losses on Dow Jones Industrial Average. Lost 6% in the course of the week, and what, NASDAQ lost 12? Now, hanging bad paper does seem to be the way to go right now. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. I hope we will give some long and serious thought to this matter. Our federal government is hanging bad paper. George W. Bush said, I looked inside that file cabinet and there wasn't nothing there but a bunch of worthless IOUs. Now, never mind that those worthless IOUs that he looked at were treasury bills. And when a treasury bill issued on the full faith and credit of the United States of America becomes a worthless IOU, there's not much left of us. Because when other nations hear high and mighty George saying that treasury bills are worthless IOUs, they get nervous. What's the old saying? When America sneezes, the world gets the flu? Well, the world is not going to let America give them the flu. What happens, and I think it's, one, never say never. Never say never. Unless you're talking about me voting for a Republican. Never. In everything else, never say never. Because it can happen. Pick the disaster, it can happen. I mean, in the course of the life of these bonds, hell, Massey may manage to poison us all. Then who's going to pay the taxes that are going to support the debt? It's not like we're going to be making the minimum payment on these things. It's not like we're going to be able to call Wall Street and say, fellas, we're going to be a little bit late this month. Think about this, for God's sakes. I'm going to hang on to this story. $3,900 of revenue-supported debt for each state resident.
I'm sure you do. You understand what revenue-supported debt means, right? That means tax-supported debt. Revenue that the state receives, supported debt. Now, Jeff says that he doesn't like credit cards and he won't have the darn things. Can't blame him for that. Probably sleeps better at night. How about the whole state? You're gonna, well, some of you will. You know, it'll probably be on the hottest day in June or the summer, whenever it's gonna be. And the people who are into this Ponzi scheme will be praying for rain to keep more voters away. Can you run your household on credit cards and not get in trouble? Can you? I don't think so. Because you've got to have something to make the payments with. This is frightening debt. And you'll be, we won't raise your taxes. What happens when the coal plays out? What happens when there's no more severance taxes? What happens when this when the whole scheme collapses around us? What do you suppose they're going to do? They're going to raise your taxes. I'm not being mean. Somebody's got to pay for this. And the somebody is you. You know, on a general level, around the war years, shortly after the war years, corporations in America carried more than half of all federal tax revenues. Now it's down to 16%. Guess who's making up the difference? You are. I am. We are. Your kids are. Your grandkids will. Your great-great-grandkids will. Because it's evil to tax a corporation. We found out a month or so ago that there are scads of corporations in West Virginia that aren't even bothering to pay their taxes. Okay? This isn't something ethereal. This isn't West Virginia's debt. This is your debt. This is my debt. That's why they have to put it to us in a vote. Now, if you think that you can just run up a bunch of credit card debt and never be called on it, you vote in favor of this pension plan. This pension bond plan. If you think, however, that maybe pay as you go might be a little bit smarter. I mean, I'm sure when they get the public relations campaign going real good, they will have high-toned people wearing bow ties on radio shows all over the state, not this one. Talking about, you've got to understand the capital involved in the investment rate and the return on the investment. For a vote for the pension bond plan. And it's going to sound real good. The sales pitch always sounds real good. It's after you buy that you find out that it wasn't. Maybe all it was cracked up to be. So I don't know. I read this in Karl Mack's Big Stack, and I saw that number, that if we issue these pension bonds, that we are going to hang $3,900 per resident on every West Virginian. Me, Jesse Fulmer across from me here producing the show tonight, we're going to hang it on my 8-year-old little daughter, my 9-year-old son, my 11-year-old daughter, my 17-year-old daughter. We're going to hang it on my wife, your husband. We're going to hang it on your grandmother, your grandfather, your aunts, your uncles, your cousins. $3,900 a year. Wow. Now, I don't know if you'll make the connection, but I sure do. Did you catch the story in the Register Herald about the upcoming Massey Energy Board meeting? They had it in Charleston last year, and, well, human beings came out and protested them, so they're moving it to New York so nobody can see what they do, or what the dirty business that they're doing. Connect
the dots. Figure it out. If you're going to allow yourself to be screwed, at least have the common decency to understand how much and for how long. This one, this is frightening. 1928, everybody was still partying. Come 1929, the party ended. And if you think it can never happen again, think again. This isn't state government. This isn't some ethereal, well, you know, it's the state. L'État, c'est vous. You're the state. And it's your $3,900 a year. You got it? I hope so. Maybe we can talk about it some. This is because this is creepy. All right, the show tonight was produced by the intrepid, here's our new word, the intrepid Jesse Fulmer, engineered by Randy Curbway, even though he's out here, and announced at least in part by Brian Reznor, brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, indeed they are working for you. Also brought to you by our very good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. The show is archived every night by Ben Birch at whiterosesociety.org. We sure do appreciate it. Run on by. Check out this show and the other shows that he archives there. A lot of good information you can get at whiterosesociety.org. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, you know the drill. Hey, Agnes!